Isn't it awesome? Awesome to be in the presence of the Lord. So good to see you on Sunday. Isn't it awesome to come into God's house, you know, to meet a brother and sister in the Lord and really able to share our hearts and our lives together? I am just excited. Today's Palm Sunday, and so I wanted to really talk about what that is, and I wanted to really talk to you guys about that. So, those of you who have a Bible, can we turn into Book of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 9. So I'll read that. Then the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" Amen. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come into your presence. Lord God, and I ask you, Father God, that you will touch our hearts and our life, Father God. And Lord God, that you will open up our hearts, Father God, as we hear this message today. We love you, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, as we come together and as we come in close to the resurrection day, you know, this is the kind of one of the greatest kind of moments and days that Christianity celebrate. Because without the resurrection day, there is no such a thing as a Christianity. And, you know, we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate, you know, all those things, but this is the greatest moment and the greatest time of Christianity. This is how the Christianity was born. You know, I was, the other day, I went to physical therapy, and I was talking to this Thai person, and she was telling me that she was Buddhist, and I told her my testimony, and I told her saying that, hey, I was Buddhist too, and I told them, hey, my grandfather was a Buddhist monk, and she was just shocked. They said, so what are you doing now? I said, I'm a pastor. And I said, like, how do you become a pastor, a person who used to be such a Buddhist? And I started telling her all those stories that what God has touched in my life, and she was so amazed. And I told her this. I said, you know, I look at all the religious people around the world. They still are in the grave. And, you know, you could go to Thailand and you could see a certain pond that actually has a part of the teeth of the Buddha is in there. And they, you all go there and worship. Is that right? And she said, yeah, that's right. But I want you to know, if you go to Israel and if you go to the Jesus' tomb, that tomb is empty today. Do you know why? Because Jesus is alive. Amen? And because Jesus won over the victory over death. And she was just amazed. That's right. That is. And you know, and one of the things that we have to understand, every single one of us here in this room, it doesn't matter who you are, how rich you are, how powerful you are, politically or physically or whatever, you will one day die. Isn't that right? That is inevitable for all of us to have to go through. But you know, when Jesus died on the cross and he was buried in a tomb, after 3 days later, Jesus was resurrected. And there's many things that I could tell you about that. And you know what? I'll let somebody who preached that on Resurrection Day to talk about that. But today, I wanted to talk about in the part about Palm Sunday. So let's talk about this part. When you look at in Book of Matthew chapter 21, and then it talks about it in very chapter. It said, those of you who have a New King James Version, it talks about it on the subtopic. It said, a triumphal entry. Triumphal entry. Why is that? What do they call it, a triumphal entry? There's many reasons why that they call that as a triumphal entry. Well, when you look at it, that actually Jesus came into Jerusalem riding a donkey. And when he was riding a donkey and coming into the Jerusalem, the people were saying that this is a triumphal entry. Why? Because they said, now we saw this Jesus, the Jesus who healed the sick. Isn't that right? Like for 3.5 years, he had this incredible ministry, the ministry that was to show signs and wonders. He fed 5,000 people with just small amount of the bread and the fish. He have touched and healed. I mean, one of the greatest things that I imagine was that he have healed the leper. Can you guys imagine that? Whoa. I mean, have you guys ever seen a leper, full-blown Hansen's disease? Oh, my goodness. They wake up in the morning, and some of them have full-blown Hansen's disease. Their eyes just pop out. Their hands just fall off. I mean, they cannot feel anything. And so, but the thing is that their whole inside starts to decay, and slowly their body parts start to fall to pieces. Can you imagine that? And so those kind of lepers come to Jesus, and Jesus touched them. And Bible say Jesus cleansed the leper. I would say this way, that Jesus heal the leper, and not just heal, but restore the leper. You know, when you look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a gift of the Holy Spirit that actually mentioned. And then within that, there is a gift of healing and the gift of miracle. There's two different things. Gift of healing is something that God restored that kind of has broken. But gift of miracle is something that God does to not just restore, but create that something that's disappeared. You know, that day, Jesus didn't do a healing on that leper. Jesus did a gift of miracle. His eyes started to come out. Oh my gosh. His fallen legs and fallen hands and all those things start to come out. Very own eyes. Can you guys imagine that? I heard that from this man who was in the, his name is Cain, and he has a ministry of deliverance ministry. And this man is just incredible, a man of God, who preaching excellent message. But man, the signs and wonders follow around him. And he said, he told me this story. I actually met him personally when I was in Australia. And he said, you know, I went to Taiwan, Pastor Hong, and the Holy Spirit just came all over me one day. And then we got together, and Taiwan has many different idolatry and a lot of dirty spirits all around. And this woman came, and the woman said, you know, my wife, my husband is a doctor, medical doctor, and he's an atheist. He doesn't believe in God. And then he said, but, you know, I just came because, you know, Lord spoke to my heart. God touched my heart, my life, and I become a Christian. And I heard about your ministry, so I just came today. And I just want you to pray over me. And then, you know, when he was praying over her, he realized her finger was missing. Her finger was cut off when she was a little child. And then Brother Cain said this. He said, while they were praying and seeking the face of God, and after they finished praying, they saw her finger grew out. And he himself couldn't believe it. It's like, whoa! That night, she went back home and showed her atheist doctor, the husband, my finger grew out. Because the Lord healed me. He's no longer the atheist anymore. Amen. I just want you guys to know that God still does that today. I want you guys to know that on that day, the Jesus done those incredible miracles and signs and wonders. And everybody will say, whoa, Jesus, he's the man. He's the man. But you know what? They thought about it in a different direction. It's like, wow, he's the one that who will come and deliver us from Roman Empire. Wow. That's what they thought about. And so when Jesus came into Jerusalem, all those people gathered around. And then they start to worship this king. They said, you are the king. And then they got the palm trees. And then they unclothed themselves, take off their jackets and lay down on the street. And when Jesus was coming in, they start to worship. And when you look at that, you say, wow, yes, Jesus deserved to receive this worship. Why? Because he's God. Amen? But I wanted to ask you this question, though. Why are they worshiping him? That's my biggest question. Why are they unclothed themselves and put their clothes and saying, Lord, you are my king. And then they took out their palm trees and they say, Hosanna, Hosanna to highest. You know that word, the symbolism of palm tree? The symbolism of palm tree is of freedom. Lord, free us. And then the words, the very word they talk about, the Hosanna, it means, Lord, save us. But what do they need to be saved from? That's my biggest question. What is the motive of those crowds? Because when you're looking at the whole deal about Matthew chapter 21 and going all the way down to chapter 26 and 7, that very crowd who's worshiping him as a king will be under the feet of the cross of Jesus when he was on the cross and said, crucify him with the same mouth. What happened? What happened here that the same crowd who is worshiping Jesus and say, Hosanna in the highest. And then taking out the palm tree and waving and say, save us and free us from the Roman Empire. I want you guys to understand that, hey, God cares about your livelihood. He does care about what is going through in your heart and your mind and your physical lives. God cares about your finance. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you enough for you to live. He doesn't want you to be poor. Poor is a part of the curse. He wants you to do all that. But you know, before all those things happen, there is a priority that God looks at. There is something that needs to happen before your physical manifestation or physical rich or finance that happened in your life. You know, I remember when I was in Korea, the Korean church, you know, one of the things that when you guys think about Korea, what do you guys think about? What do you guys think about? You could probably think about North Korea, you know, Kim Jong-un, you know, and the nuclear missiles are coming over. If you think about South Korea, what do you guys think about? K-pop. Who said that? Who said that? Yeah, K-pop. Lydia, how could you? K-pop. Yeah, that's right. So, and then what do you guys think? What else you guys think about when you go to Korea? Huh? With plastic surgery. Oh my God. Do you guys know that when you go to Korea, subway, and when you look at all the girls, they all look alike? Yeah, because they all had a plastic surgery. They say, I want to be like her. They got all the movie star, and they all fix their face according to that. So they all look alike. So what else do you think about? I went to the other day on 7-Eleven. I said, they're serving Korean tteokbokki. Oh, my gosh. I said, okay, one of the rare food, and they serve that. I said, like, so they say, they call it K-food. Isn't that right? So you see, all those things that are going on, K-pop, K-music, you know, K-drama, Pastor, oh my gosh, Pastor John, all those things, right? But you know what Korea's really famous of? That not many people's really mentioning? Okay. It's church. The Korea became what they are today. It's because of church. Because the missionaries came to Korea hundreds of years ago and they preached the gospel. And those missionaries stay in Korea for five generations. And they preach the gospel. And did you know Korea has the largest church in every denomination in the world? Not just largest church in the world. We talk about like Dr. Yonggi Cho's church, one church, which is the largest church in the world. I don't know if it still is today. But Korea has the largest church in every denomination. Do you know why? Because the revival that happened in Korea. So when you look at Korea, yes, all those things happen. The South Korea that has been cut off, I mean, that nation that is small as it is, Korean Peninsula, it got cut off into half. And that small Korean Peninsula, the south part of it, did you guys know that the natural resource of Korea, is all in 97% of them are in North Korea. So South Korea don't even have natural resource. But in spite of all that, somehow God blessed them and touched them. Do you know why? Because as a people, when they're poor, when they're going through something in their life, they cry out to God. And God touched their life, that touched their finance, that touched their government. And God, because of God's blessing, they become the 12th strongest economy in the world today. And the secret is not in K-food. Secret is not in K-pop. Secret is not in all those things. Secret is in church who worship the Lord. And when they start come together and worship God and repent of their sin, God was able to bless them. I just want to tell you, in this Palm Sunday, and all those Israelites, they got together and they said they were swinging their palm trees and they were all those things. They bless us, Lord. Set us free, O King. Yes, Jesus is King. But Jesus did not come to set them free from the Roman Empire. Jesus did not come. So they were crying out for the wrong things. And I wonder sometimes in our life, we are crying out to God, yes, and that's good. But are we crying out for the right things? Or are we crying out for the wrong things? And when I went to Korea, and one of the things, that saddest thing that I saw, God, I was a principal of the school. And I went to school at one of the large churches, and I was an English minister there. And when I went there, I saw all those, the Korean ladies got together and said, we're going to pray all night tonight. And I said, oh my goodness, Korea is still alive. They're going to pray all night. Yes. And I found out later they're going to pray all night because next day is their children's SAT entrance exam. And so they come together and they pray all night. Say, God, let my son go to university. Lord God, you know, let him have a high school so he could go to, you know, Harvard of Korea. And I say, that's good. That's okay. But there's a higher purpose than that. And when you look at all those people in Israel, it is, yes, they need to be free from Roman oppressions that they have. But you know what? There's a greater thing that they need to be set free from. And that's why Jesus came. That's why it is the triumphal entry. It is the triumphal entry. It's because Jesus is about to set us free something greater than those oppression. You know what we call that? That's, we call it sin. A sin in our life. That's what is holding us down. You know, that's what Jesus preached about this one day. He said, there was a rich man. He said he packed up everything. And then he got overflowing rich. And he got all those things. And so he had to break down the shed. And he built a bigger barn. And he filled it all out. And he said, ha, I could have a very comfortable life. I am going to enjoy it now on. Isn't that what you guys think of what? Come on, don't lie to me. And I know that it's like, yes, the retirement day, 401k, when it's all filled up, yes, I will have comfortable life. Unfortunately, other countries don't have that kind of luxury. They just barely survive. I remember Oscar told me, you know, that a lot of the pastors, when they retire in Nicaragua, they starve to death. And one of the ministries that his father had in Nicaragua was to taking care of those pastors because they don't really have any money after they retire to really survive afterwards. And I know that we thought about it this way. Yes, I work hard and I deserve a retirement. And so a lot of us work for that very retirement. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But there's a greater purpose that God could give us. And that rich man said, yes, I got this. I am going to live my life, the rest of my life, with the luxury and enjoy it. And God came to him that night. And God called him fool. You fool. Why? He said, because God doesn't like him? No, because fool do not understand what's going to happen next day. Fool don't care about what God said. Fool don't care about the plan of God. That's fool. And this, he said, God says, you fool. Don't you not know I am God and I am going to take your life away tonight? Don't you not align your plan with my plan? Don't you not know that, I want to bless you, but you have not done anything for me or for the plans that I have laid down for you, and you just want to do what you want to do. You know what we call that? Selfishness. And when we start doing that, God said, you don't need it here. I'm going to take your life away. The problem is this. Are you ready to meet the Lord face to face? When you meet him, Bible said it is appointed man to die once, and after that there will be a judgment. That's what it said. So when you meet him face to face, are you ready to answer his question? Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what God want you to be ready for. Yes, they could be set free from Roman Empire. Yes, they could live and become a strongest nation again and do all those things. But if their life or their heart is not aligned with God, and if they are not repent of for their sin in their life, are you ready to answer God's questions? Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's why Jesus didn't come to rescue them out of Roman Empire. But Jesus have a better plan. What is that better plan? To rescue out of your sin. And so when you look at the rest of the chapters, did you notice how Jesus started to preach to them? He didn't finish there. After the triumphal entry, after the Hosanna and all those things, that Jesus started to cleanse the temple. That's the next thing that he did. And Jesus said this. He said, my house is a house of prayer for the whole nation, and you made a den of thief. And Jesus go on and start going after all those people and say, hey, why are you doing this? So Jesus was demanding on the repentance in their life. After that triumphal entry, what was Jesus doing? What was the message that Jesus is saying to them? Jesus is crying out and telling them, he said, hey guys, you guys need to repent. Get right with God. And let me, as your heart is turned to God, let me take away your sin by dying for your sin. Dying for your sin on the cross. That is the greatest triumphal entry. You know, Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all this thing shall be added unto you. I'm gonna say something very uncomfortable for you guys. But that's something that I need to say. You know, when I go to Korea, I have to deal with a lot of North Korean refugees. And some of the North Korean refugees, even though they come to church, even though they become the title of elders or title of deacons, they live together without being married. There's one purpose they're doing that. You know why? Because by doing that, not officially married, they actually get more money from the government. Because in the status quo, they are kind of single. And so they could get more benefit out of the government. And out of that they compromise their faith and doing something illegal and doing something that God cannot bless. I want you guys to understand, yes, money is important. But you should not make money your God. Because our God is our God, not the money. And that's something that we do same here in the United States. And I want you guys to know, if you take what you are compromising and say to Jesus, Lord, Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. When you look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9, he said, if you believe this, he said, you shall be saved. On this, if you believe that Jesus is Lord, not your Savior, if you accept him as your Lord, Bible say, you shall be saved. What does that mean by that? It means that now on, he is the one that controls you. Now on, your life belongs to him. Now on, you put your life in the hand of God. That's what they mean. And so many times we only talk about salvation. And so many times when you accept Jesus in your life, that he will save your sin. Yes, that is true. But you know what? God demands something on you when you come to him. You know what that is? To order to bless you. He said, let me be your Lord. Let me control your life now. Because you know why? God is more powerful than government. Amen? God can bless you better than any of those welfare programs that we have. Isn't that right? We got to learn to what? Believe God that he will provide. We got to learn to trust God as you grab hold of him, that he will do something more powerful. And you know what? Out of all those things, you start to experience him. When you start to align your life before the Lord, you start to see miracle. Amen? The welfare doesn't really matter anymore. You start to see miracle. You start to see God will bless your marriage. You start to see God will bless your finance. You start to see that God will do something powerful. You know what? But in order that to happen, you have to repent and take care of your sin first. We talk about in Bible study how to be a friend of God. Wow. I said, I never thought about it in that direction. Because when you really look at it in the context, Jesus was saying, hey, if you are my disciple, no longer you are not my servant anymore. You are my friend. But that takes what? To being a disciple. What does that mean, being a disciple? Disciple means you lay your life down before the Lord. To follow him. does not mean that you're perfect, but some of the things that you have to be, what is disaligned, that you need to be aligned. And when you are is aligned, that you will truly have triumphal entry. You are able to come into the presence of God. And you have a right to ask the Lord for the blessing of his blessing. It's because why? Because you have aligned your life before the Lord. And you know what? My God is stronger than government, any of the welfare programs, any of those things in our life. But you know what? My God can bless you, touch you, and make your life incredible. You know, my grandchild comes to my house every Friday. I have a grandpa duty every Friday all the way to Saturday night. And you know, I realized I'm out of shape these days because he is so fast. I have to chase after him. I mean, boy. And so I realized, like, boy, I got to keep in shape and I better start eating right. And because if I wanted to see him grow up, I better do this. But you know, as I look at the whole situation, my son purposely moved all the way from Seattle to here because he knows that there is a help here called Grandma and Grandpa. I said, okay. And then they said, okay, Mom and Dad, it's all yours for the weekend. I said, okay. I'm half crying and not fully rejoicing because I realize I'm crying not because I'm going through so much tiredness, but I'm crying because, God, who am I that I have this much blessing in my life? Because, you know, I look at my grandchild, and he's so precious. And it's like, I thought I was loving my kids. I said, like, Pastor John said, it's God gave your grandchild to, you know, so because, you know, a reward of that not killing your kids. And I said, like, I think that's kind of right. But I look at my grandchild, I said, like, wow, God, what a blessing that you gave me. Why am I deserve this? And God spoke to my heart. It's because you follow my words. Because you follow what I said. You took my word seriously, and you align it with my words, your life with my word. That's why it is a triumphal entry. You will have victory over the devil. You will have victory over this world because you follow what I have said. Do you guys know that God has a blessing waiting for you in many ways? But you have to first align with him. You have to acknowledge that I have a problem called sin in my life. And I need Jesus to take care of it. And when you start letting him take care of your sin and let him become your Lord of your life, not just a Savior, not on the salvation part, but you become his friend and his follower, then Jesus starts to restore you and touch you in such a way that you will not just be saved, but you become a person who is able to spread this gospel to others. And others will be saved through you. Amen? It would be so selfish for me to just go to heaven by myself. It would be so selfish for me to just know Jesus by myself. But I want others to know it. You know what my wife does? I love that woman, and I just got to love that woman more these days. You know why? Because she slaved herself in a kitchen to fix dinner for a pregnant daughter-in-law every night and get the food for the daughter-in-law so she don't really have to cook while she's pregnant. Sacrifice herself that way. I want you guys to know, the Korean mother-in-law don't do that. I have enough bad Korean mother-in-law who came to my office when I was a principal, okay, who have horror stories to tell me, and they are elder of the church, 권사님 in the church, tell me what horrible things that they have done to their daughter-in-law. I said, like, wow, but my wife, who is the mother-in-law of my daughter-in-law, selflessly serving her and saying that you are not just my mother-in-law, but I want to serve you so you could know Jesus. That triumphal entry. That is a true Palm Sunday. You see, this true Palm Sunday, we should not just celebrate it going through the motion of, oh, Jesus came and had all those things. But this is something that God tells us to practice. Just like Jesus came to lay his life down, that was a triumph entry. So we could be set free from our sin. We need to learn to lay ourselves down for some people around us so they may know Jesus Christ in their hearts and our life. Amen? And when you start doing that, you could see the nations change. You could see the towns change. You could see this area change. You know, Pastor John, I'll talk about politics just a little bit, okay? Just a little bit, okay? Right. You know, we as a conservatives or Christians think that, wow, we got it made because Trump is doing all these great things on politics. And I agree up to certain points. But I want you to know, he's not our savior. He's not the one that create ultimate triumph in our life. The problem of our nation, yeah, President Trump is doing a lot of things to solve a lot of problems. But the problem that all those problems came about is not because. It's because of bad politics, yes, but because ultimate reason is because of our sin that need to be resolved. And when our life turned around and start following the principle of God, our nation will truly change by the power of the Holy Spirit. How do I know that? Because I read American history, the real one. Not the fake one that they teach in public school. The real one. And when I read it, all those men of God got together, our founding fathers. Trust me, they are a great men of God. And they got together and they prayed and they sought the Lord for the Constitution. And they said, George Washington said, this Constitution, this republic that we made, it's not possible to continue on unless the religious people, unless the moral people get together and hold this nation together. That's what he said. You see, the bottom line of our nation is not we are messed up in the economy and all those are just a symptom of our sin that we're committing in our nation. All those things, we are saying something about Dodge and all those things. Why? We're cutting out the waste. Why? Because we're used to sin. Because sin is something that is comfortable to us. So for taking those things off is becoming uncomfortable. Say, don't do it. Don't do it. You're a Nazi and all those things. Don't do it. Guys, sometimes in order for us to repent, it takes pain. But that pain is good for us in the long run. And that's what God is doing. And that's what God wants us to do for you guys in our hearts and our lives. If I say this, a lot of people might not agree, but I'll say it anyway, okay? Because you guys love me, right? All right, so I say that. You know, when you look at the book of Job, some people told me this. They said, well, what was the greatest blessing of Job? Like some people tell me, oh, you know, Job, you know, did something wrong. That's why he got all this suffering and all that. I really disagree. Job was a great man of God, but he wasn't perfect.
So in order for God to bless him, the double the portion, and a lot of people think about that, the double the portion was the greatest blessing. No. The double the portion, you know, do you guys know that if God bless you materially and you're not ready in your heart, that become more curse to you than a blessing. Isn't that right? I told one of my kids, I said, my kids that I teach, I said, if I give you $1 million, that would be curse to you guys. You guys going to quit the school right away. You guys going to go to video games and do all play video games all day, all night. You're going to do all those bad things in your life because you have $1 million. And you don't have to listen to your parents anymore. You don't have to listen to your teacher anymore. Hey, you're going to do all those things. Why? Because you're not ready to handle that $1 million. Is that right? And you know what? If Job was a great man, but he wasn't able to handle the double portion of the riches that he had. You know what God has to do? God has to put some little greater character in his life. So God let him suffer for 80 years. God allowed that. And that 8 years of that suffering, of the torturous thing that he went through, at the end of the life, he saw this. He said, I am not that good of man I thought I would be. In chapter 40, he talks about that. He said, Lord, before I heard you, but now I see you. He have a greater revelation of God after 8 years of suffering. That was the greatest blessing that he had, that 8 years of suffering, to bring him to a place that he could able to handle the double portion of God's blessing, material blessing. Amen? If I say this, some of the prosperity gospel people cannot handle that. But it's okay. It's okay. I need to tell you guys the truth. The truth. And if you have the truth and abide by the truth, that truth will set you free. Amen? And that's why I'm preaching this message to you. I am preaching this message to you, not to say how bad you are, but tell you there is a greater next level of you to receive the blessing of God. And that is be right with God. Be right with him. And accept his redemption. And let his blood cleanse us and touch us. And when that happens, then we are ready to receive the next level of his material blessing and whatever God wants to do for our life. Amen? Amen. Give me a stand. Kui Kimi, can you come over here and play something? Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. I just wanted to do that. I want you guys to get a group of people around you and I want you guys to just pray for each other. Can we just do that? Just go to somebody that you don't know about. Okay? You know? And can we just lay hands on them and just pray? He said, may God bless you. Amen? May God touch your life. Hallelujah, God. Come on. Let's go to somebody goes to Pakistani our couples here, our brother and sister. Okay? Come on. Lay hands on them. Come on. Let's just pray for them. May God will understand this message. God will give us the blessing that we need. God will give us the time for us to be aligned our life before the Lord truly. Let our life become a triumphal entry, the true one. Not the something that will only do a shallow, the halfway. God has to do something powerful. God has to do something powerful in our life. Hallelujah, God. God, whatever that you want me to do, I'll lay it down before you, God. Not something that I want, but God, what you want. Because what you want is best for me, Lord God. Can we just pray that prayer for each other? Come on, can we do that? Hallelujah, God. Lord God, what you want is what I want, God. Holy Spirit, come. Worship you, Jesus. Yeah. Oh, Rabbi Yeshua. We worship you, Lord. Yeah. love you, God. We thank you, God. We praise you. Father, we come into your presence. We thank you, Father God, for what you have done. God, we thank you for this powerful Palm Sunday. We thank you for the words that you have given us. Lord God, we want to be closer to you. We don't want just to be saved for myself and go to heaven. But God, we want to bring many brothers and many sisters, many people around us who does not know you, to heaven. To you, Father God. And only way that can happen is that I'll be able to lay my life down for the sake of the gospel. God, help us to do that. And just like what those five generations of Korean missionaries and the missionaries to Korea have done. And Lord, lay down their life for behalf of Korea. And that Korea become what they are today. Lord Jesus, help us to lay ourselves down for Honolulu, for the town around here in this young street. God, help our life down for our neighbors and my, Father God, loved ones around us who does not know you. Lord Jesus, touch us once again. Move us once again. Lord, let the door of faith restore and recover and more than what we used to have. The glory of God and Lord God, revival, Father God, we used to have. Let it happen again in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.